Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we study together from God's Word. In just a few moments, we'll begin a new series of studies here on Grace Alive, a series entitled Searching for God's Word. This is the first month in a larger series of studies that we're going to be doing entitled Bible, Bible, Who's Got the Bible? We're going to be spending time identifying God's Word, understanding how we know that we have in our possession today the true Word of God. We're going to begin our series of studies in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. So if you take a moment now to turn to 2 Timothy 3:16, and as you do that, I'll remind you once again that you are watching Grace Alive, and at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us, either by mail, through the web, or our toll-free phone number. And if you contact us in any one of those ways during this series of studies, we'll be glad to send you the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs, or the DVDs of this entire four-month series of studies. So be sure to get a pen or pencil, some paper, and get that information down at the end of the program today. Right now, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. And this is a very relatively short passage of Scripture, but one that has a great deal of information and is very important for us to understand. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and then Paul talks to us about the things that that Scripture accomplishes. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, with the ultimate end, the ultimate goal, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, last month in our series of studies, we looked at the four basic foundations upon which we need to build our lives as believers, upon which the ministry here at Grace Alive is built. And one of those four basic foundations is a book you can trust. In fact, that's the first foundation that we need to build. We need to have an objective standard of truth, something outside of ourselves that we can look to, that we can turn to tell us what is true. Because if we count on our own subjective standards, our own likes, our own dislikes, our own prejudices to tell us what is right and wrong, we never really will know for sure what is true, because it's those subjective things are always subject, as I said, to our own whims, to our own desires. We need something outside of ourselves, something that didn't originate with man, to give us that standard, that objective standard of truth. And that objective standard of truth, as we understand it, is the Word of God, is the Bible, is the Scriptures. Now, as I said, last month, we talked about having a book you can trust as one of those four basic pillars, one of those four basic foundations. But we want to spend several months now looking in more detail at that first foundation, at a book you can trust. We talk a lot on Grace Alive about a gospel you can believe. We talk about the gospel of the grace of God. That's one of the other pillars, one of the other foundations. The gospel by which we are saved, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We talk about study you can understand. We talk often about rightly dividing the word of truth and the distinction between law and grace. We talk very often about all of those pillars, all of those foundations. We talk about a life you can live. In fact, we call our broadcast Grace Alive, and our ministry Grace Alive, because we focus especially on that living the life of grace that God has put within us. But all of that begins, all of that starts, all of that has its foundation in that objective standard of truth. The only way we can have a gospel that we can believe, the only way we can have study that we can understand, the only way we can find a life that we can live, is if we find those things in that objective standard, in that book we can trust. So we're going to take, as I said, several months and answer the question, Bible, Bible, who's got the Bible? This first month's series is the search for God's Word, just understanding, Is it important to identify God's Word? If you were to go into a Christian bookstore today, you would find just a number of different so-called versions of the Bible. You can find the King James Version, the New International Version, the Living Bible, the New American Standard Version, all sorts of different versions of God's Word. And as you look at all those versions, the prevailing wisdom is, the prevailing understanding is, well, they're all basically the same. That they all just say the same thing in little different ways. Well, we want to consider that question this month in this series, The Search for God's Word. We're looking at going into that bookstore, at looking at all those different versions, at all those various types of Bibles. And if you were searching for God's Word and you wanted to know which one of those was really the Word of God, how would you go about it? So this month, we want to consider, is there really a difference? Is there really a difference between all those different Bible versions? Secondly, if there is a difference in those versions, does it really matter? Does it make a difference if there are slight variations and slight differences and a word changed here and a word missing there? Does that really matter? And as we consider this, we want to always do it by looking to the Scriptures, by seeing what the Scriptures have to say about themselves. Again, going from that premise that we need an objective standard outside of ourselves, we can't simply look at it and say, well, in my opinion or from my perspective, this is true or that is true. We need to understand it from God's perspective. We need to understand what He says about it. We need to understand if there are differences from His point of view. We need to understand from His point of view if those differences are significant. So what we're going to do in this first week is simply look at some verses, compare verses between a King James Bible, which is the standard, has been the standard for 400 years, almost 400 years rather, in Christianity. In fact, the King James Bible 1611 was published. We're approaching the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. And we're going to use as sort of a representative of the new Bibles, the newer translations, the newer versions, the New International Version. And as you know, of course, if you are involved in studying the Bible at all, if you've tried to purchase a Bible at all, there are many, many others. We're simply using the New International Version. It would get too laborious to try to read a verse from all the versions that are out there, all the dozens and hundreds of versions that are out there. But we'll simply use the New International Version as the representative of the, quote, newer versions, the newer Bibles. And as we see, as we're going to see as we go on in this study, there really are, in the underlying text and in the underlying manuscripts from which the Bibles come, there really are only two Bibles out there. One which is represented in English by the King James Version, which is translated from a certain set of manuscripts and a certain type of text, and the other, represented by the New International Version in our case, that is translated from a totally different set of manuscripts and a totally different set of documents. So let's just look at some verses and see if in fact there is a difference in the two versions. Let's look first at Matthew chapter 27. So if you have a King James Bible, you can certainly turn to Matthew chapter 27. If you have one of the newer versions, feel free also to use that and to turn to that also in your study and as we compare the two different versions. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 35. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 35. Now I'll read the verse first from the King James Bible. We read this, "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." So there's a pretty simple verse talking about the crucifixion of Christ, talking about the soldiers that were there parting his garments and casting lots. And then we're told that that is a fulfillment of the prophecy. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. So there is a fulfillment of prophecy in what happened at the crucifixion of Christ. That's in the King James Bible. Now, as we read that same passage in the New International Version, Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 35, we read this, Matthew 27 and verse number 35. "When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots." Period. So we see in that one verse, Matthew 27, verse 35, there's quite a difference in those two. Either something has been added in the text of the King James Bible, or something has been taken away in the text of the New International Version. Again, the King James Version, they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. In the New International Version, when they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. You notice the thing that is missing, either missing in the New International Version or added in the King James Bible, is that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, upon my vesture did they cast lots. So there is clearly a distinction, clearly a difference there in the two versions. Let's look at another passage in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 18 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11. And again, you can turn to it if you have your King James Bible there, or if you have one of the newer versions, either one, and compare as we read together. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11 in the King James Bible. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. A very relatively famous passage of Scripture, actually. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Talking about the reason for the coming of Christ, the reason for His incarnation, the reason that He came to save that which was lost. In the New International Version, when we look up Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11, we find that there is no Matthew 18 verse 11. And in fact, strangely enough, if you look in your New International Version or in one of the newer versions of the Bible, you'll find that in Matthew chapter 18, you'll see verse 10, and it will go immediately from verse 10 to verse 12. So even though that part of Scripture that is verse 11 in Matthew chapter 18 in the King James Bible is missing in the newer Bibles, but they still keep the numbering system the same. So the 11th verse is specifically omitted or added to in the King James Bible, one or the other. So again, there's a case in which a whole verse, not just a part of a verse, the passage we looked at in Matthew chapter 27, there was a part of a verse that was omitted or added in the King James Bible, depending on which was done. In this case, it's not just a part of a verse. In this case, it's a whole verse, but in the NIV, they maintain the same numbering system so that it would appear, if you just looked at the number of verses, that there is no omission, that nothing is changed, but actually something was changed. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 14. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 14. And again, we will look at Colossians 1 and verse 14 in both versions. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14 in the King James Version, and then Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14 in the New International Version. Colossians 1:14 in the King James Version, we read this, in whom, and the reference here is to Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Again, an important passage of Scripture, a passage that talks to us about the work of Christ, about the ministry of Christ, about His purpose, about what He accomplished. In whom, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. When we read that verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in the New International Version, we read this, in whom, and again the reference there to Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So again, we see either an addition in the King James Version or an omission in the New International Version. That phrase, through His blood, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And the New International Version, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So that little phrase, through His blood, either is left out of the New International Version or is added into the King James Version. And I might say one thing, and we'll talk about this further as we go through this study, that these differences that we're talking about are not really just differences in translation. They're differences in the text from which the Bibles came. other words, your Bible was written, the Old Testament primarily in Hebrew, the New Testament primarily in Greek, and the Greek and that Hebrew manuscripts were then translated into English so that you and I can read them and understand them. And we'll talk about the process of translation as we go on later in this study to understand a little better that process and what happens in that process of translation. But the reason that these differences that we're seeing between the New International Version and the King James Version is not due to the translation process, it's due to the basic Greek text that from which, in this case, the New Testament was translated. In other words, the reason that through His blood is not in the book of Colossians in the New International Version is that the Greek manuscript from which the New International Version was translated doesn't contain that phrase. The Greek manuscript from which the King James Version is translated does contain that phrase. So it's not a translation difference here, but it is a difference in the actual underlying manuscripts from which our Bibles are translated. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Back just a couple of books since we're here in Paul's epistles. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 9. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 9. In Ephesians 3:9, we read this in the King James Version. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Paul talks there about his ministry, about his purpose, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. God created all things, how? By Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, now in the New International Version, we read this. Ephesians 3 and verse 9. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Now, did you hear the difference in those two verses? Listen to Ephesians 3:9 again in the King James Version. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, in the New International Version. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. You notice, you'll see differences in translation there. In other words, for example, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, the King James translators translated it as, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The New International translators translated it to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. King James, fellowship. New International Version, administration. So words like that are differences in translation, in what one translating committee believed it should be and another. But there's a difference in those verses that is not a result of translation, and that's the last phrase. The King James Version says, God who created all things by Jesus Christ. The New International Version simply says, God who created all things. That little phrase, by Jesus Christ, exists in the King James Bible, does not exist in the New International Version. So either that phrase was added to the manuscripts from which the King James was translated, or it was taken out of the manuscripts from which the New International Version was translated. One or the other. Because they're obviously not the same. There's a difference. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 37. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. And here again we're going to see a situation where not just a portion of a verse, but actually a whole verse is either added in the King James or eliminated in the NIV, depending which is correct. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 37. In Acts 8:37 we read this, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, if you look to Acts chapter 8 and verse 37 in the New International Version, you'll see that there is no verse 37. There is no Acts 8:37. We have Acts 8:36. The numbering goes 34, 35, 36, 38, 39, 40. So again, there is a whole verse taken out, the numbering system of the verses is maintained so that it appears like when you get to the end of the chapter, 40 verses, 40 verses. They're all there. But something is missing, or else something has been added in the King James Bible. It's sort of significant here what verse 37 says. If you look at verse 36, this is Philip dealing with the Ethiopian eunuch, presenting the gospel of the kingdom to him. And he says this in verse 36, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So the eunuch says, here's water, can I be baptized? In the New International Version, then you go directly to verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And that's the way the account reads in the New International Version. I'll read it to you beginning at verse 36. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water, why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So that's the account. Here's water. Can I be baptized? Yeah, let's go down and get baptized. The verse that is not in the New International Version, that is in the King James Version, says this, that verse 37, and Philip said, so the eunuch asked, can I be baptized? Philip's answer is not to baptize him, but to ask him this question. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So you can be baptized if you believe something. What must you believe? The eunuch answers. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he stops the chariot and he goes down and baptizes him. So there's a pretty clear statement there in Acts chapter 8 about, you know, you can be baptized if you believe something. What is it you must believe? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you'll notice, and again, we'll talk more about this later in the study, that some of these differences involve pretty important issues about Jesus Christ. For instance, God who created all things by Jesus Christ, or just God who created all things. So did he create all things by Jesus Christ? Or did he just create all things, perhaps in some other way? The Ethiopian eunuch is baptized only after he professes Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Or did he not have to profess that first, as the New International Version seems to indicate? So clearly some of these distinctions are important distinctions. Some of these differences are important differences. Let's look at one other. I think we have time here to look at one other. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, we read this. 1 John 5 and verse number 7 in the King James Bible. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Notice in the New International Version, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, for there are three that testify. Period. There are three that testify. So again, either in the King James Version, there's a lot of information added about who those three are. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Those three that bear record are the Trinity. When we talk about God and who He is, and we talk about one God eternally existing in three persons as a part of Christian doctrine, there is the Father, the Word, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. Three in one. That is spelled out in great detail in 1 John 5, 7 in the King James Bible. In 1 John 5, 7 in the New International Version, there are three that testify. Period. So again, either there's a lot of information missing in the New International Version, or there's been a lot of information added in the King James Version. Now, in a half-hour program, we could only look at a few illustrations, a few examples. There are dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of places where if you consider the text of the King James Bible and the text of the newer Bibles, in this case represented by the New International Version, you'll find these discrepancies. Sometimes just a word, sometimes a phrase, sometimes, as we've seen today, a whole verse of discrepancy. So it's clear that when you go into the bookstore and someone says, well, all the Bibles are alike, that's not true. It is not true that all the Bibles are alike. There are differences, distinctions in words, in phrases, and in whole verses where they exist in one and don't exist in another version. So in our series this month, The Search for God's Word, Searching for God's Word, as we begin that search, we see that it is something we need to search. Either this version, the New International Version, and the newer versions, and their readings are the Word of God, or the King James Version, and the versions that the Bibles that come from that line of text are the Word of God. And remember, the difference is not just in translation. We saw how translation can differ, fellowship as opposed to administration, that kind of thing. These are differences in the text. Now, next week we'll talk about, are these differences significant? Does it matter that there's a word or phrase or even a whole verse missing? And we'll spend the rest of the month sort of looking at that issue of, does it matter, and how much does it matter that there are these differences? Right now, we'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have about this series of studies. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. If you write to us this month, we'll be glad to send you the CDs or DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. In fact, the entire 4 months. We've also got a companion booklet that goes with it. So we look forward to hearing from you this month, and be tuned in with us again next week. And until then, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.